seconds here. So
hold
on.
Talk Radio.
Welcome to Logical Soul Talk. My name is Michael Craig, and I'm your host for this exciting weekly talk radio program where I get to interview the best, brightest, and most creative people in the world about some of the turning points in their lives and what brought them to their success. You see, I was a chiropractor for many years and discovered that most people, including myself, have an underlying pattern of what I call hidden decisions that we made as small children or picked up from our parents, teachers, or even our ancestors. And these subconscious decisions form our reality and affect our motivation and our destiny. Quite by accident, many years ago, I discovered I could access and change these hidden decisions to allow amazing results to happen in my own and other people's lives. And you can get more information on these discoveries, case studies, and more at www.logicalsoul.com. Now, my guests on the show were selected not because they're familiar with my work, in fact, many aren't, but because they have obviously made some strong decisions in their own lives that led to their current success in life. And my goal in having them on this show is to probe a little bit and discover their pattern of decisions. And this will allow you as my listeners to maybe pick up some special nuggets that you can use to add to your own motivation and nourish your own seeds of success. And listen to the show with an open mind. After about 10 or 15 minutes, I invite you to call in with your comments and questions. Our number is area code 347-843-5544. That's 347-843-4544. You can also call in from your headset if you're online at www.blogtalkradio.com/logicalsoul. Sometimes that works. I can't vouch for it, but I've heard some people have trouble with it, but you'll never have trouble if you call the number. Excuse me. My guest on the show tonight is, his name is Gabe Strom, and Gabe is very, it's an interesting story about Gabe. I'll have to tell you that. I was basically learning to use Twitter and Facebook and just getting used to that back in the spring, and I was surfing around and noticed that he was basically all over the place. His name came up every time I turned around, and I said, well, you know, this guy's he's connected, you know, he's out there doing things. And so I sort of kept him in my mind and made a connection with him. And he calls himself a visionary, entrepreneur, social media strategist, and life coach, and he's participated in dozens of startups, I assume business startups, since the young age of 19. And what he said was interesting was that he's dedicated his life to understanding why 90% of small businesses fail and what separates them from the top 10% who actually win this game. And he's a much sought-after public speaker, and he now coaches entrepreneurs across the country on how to leverage social media to brand themselves online. And Gabe has discovered his calling, he says, in coaching individuals to help them discover their hidden value while aligning their gifts, talents, and purpose in life. He specializes in video marketing and teaches entrepreneurs to embrace their authenticity on camera while marketing their business 24/7 using online video. And that's quite a resume there, Gabe. You want to fill in some of the blanks and tell me how you got started in doing this? You said you got started at age 19. What happened?
Yeah, well, thanks for the intro, Michael, and I appreciate being able to spend some time with you on your show here. This is our first conversation. I was kind of interested in connecting with you. But can you hear me all right? Am I coming through good? Or?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. Might want to get a little closer to the microphone or speak up a little bit. But I think you're coming along great.
Okay.
Perfect. I can hear you.
Perfect. Well, you mentioned the young age. I'm a young man still. My 27th birthday is next month at the end of November, so I'm ripe in this
happy
game
birthday.
Too. But thank you. You're first person to wish me happy birthday. So, but you mentioned 19, and I kind of joke about that because I caught this bug, this entrepreneurial bug, at a young age, and I was actually in my I was sophomore year of college, and I was in my house at the time, and there was a gentleman who had done a walkthrough in my house, and he was a young guy, and he walked through with the realtor, and, you know, this happens a lot in college, and you kind of got to put your stuff aside as they show the house for the next year's semester. And I chatted with him. I said, "Hey, man, you looking to move in here?" And he's like, "No, I'm going to buy the place. I'm looking to buy the place." And I said, "Buy the place?" You know, he was much more than a year or two older than me. You know, maybe he was a senior or just graduated. And he's like, "Yeah, I'm going to buy the place as an investment." And he said, "Have you ever heard of Rich Dad Poor Dad?" And I said, "No." He said, "You got to go read that book." And so that was my gateway drug into this world called entrepreneurialism and this journey that we call life. And I got hooked, and from then until, I won't tell my whole story, but from then until I graduated, I was had this peace in my mind that, I wanted to learn business. I knew that 90% of small businesses failed. So being young and ambitious, I told myself, well, if it takes failing 9 businesses to find one that works, I'm going to do that. And so I went out and failed 10 businesses in the next 3 years and tried everything from network marketing to eBay business to a restaurant to a vending business. You name it, and I kind of got my hands on it. And that kind of spun things moving forward into what we call now as life coaching. I've been able to kind of share some of my experiences. So very interesting beginning how life kind of shows you those things, you know, when you're not asking for it. But
wow, that's quite interesting. I've heard the expression failing forward, and I think that's probably what you did, huh?
That's a more elegant way of putting it. But, you know, that...
if you start out with the idea that you're going to fail and you just proceed to fail, and then when you do, you go next, you know, move on to the next thing and fail at that, move on next. I mean, that's sort of a way of... at least you had your context in order. At least you knew that, you know, well, this may not succeed, and so what? You move on, you know. Pretty good.
Thankfully, I was... I'd like to say smart enough, but I have to think dumb enough to, you know, be able to have the intestinal fortitude just to move forward. And it wasn't like I was planning on failing those businesses, but in hindsight, you know, one of the ways to learn, there's kind of two ways to learn anything in life. You can, the smart way, which is to find an expert in what you're trying to do and find a mentor who you can model after and just copy them. I didn't realize that. So my strategy was to learn the wrong way of doing things, and, you know, they say you do it wrong enough long enough and you'll figure it out the right way. And because I didn't have a family and I didn't have, you know, wife and kids, obviously, at 19, 20, 21, and even 22 and moving up, that, you know, I could afford to do that. And I can't say I'd go back in that same pattern now, but same type of event happened and what got me into social media, which is kind of interesting. But
yeah, tell me about that, because you're all over the place. I mean, I found you on, I think it was Facebook or Twitter, and you just seem to have a lot going on. And, of course, the headset, you branded yourself with the headset there, and I said, well, this guy's got a show or something going on. So I figured, well, you know, he's probably connected, got things happening, and you just came across as being a professional young man, somebody who's really got connections and making things happen. So you teach people to brand themselves. How did you begin to brand yourself, and what were the decisions that went into getting into that line?
Good question. Really, the story of how I got involved in this, and I've been in, I first saw social media as a business tool probably about almost 2 years ago now, and what had happened is I was up late at night. I was in a network marketing company at the time, and I was doing okay, but by no means was I hitting the ball out of the park, and at least I was making some money and able to make a living out of it, unlike most of the industry. But what got me into this was my desire. I was on the internet late at night. It was like 3 in the morning, and I was looking for a way to get better qualified leads for my business. And I grew up on Facebook. You know, Facebook came out when I was a junior in college, and I remember when it first came out that it was very creepy at the time. Everyone called it creep book because you're, you know, peering into people's lives and, you know, especially girls and stuff or whatever. Weird thing. So I never really, I'm a borderline Gen X, Gen Y, and so, you know, I kind of grew up with it, but I didn't get on Facebook until several years later because I thought I was, you know, I was the upperclassman, I was too mature, it was for the freshmen and sophomores, and so I didn't even gravitate. Uh-huh. So when I have run into people now who are, you know, in their 30s, 40s, and 50s and say, oh, I can't, yes, I can relate to how you feel because I felt that same way too when I first saw it. I didn't want to mess with that stuff. But, you know, fast forward, so I did join, and, you know, it was purely for colleges at the time, and I, you know, adding friends and talking about what you did last night and stuff and sharing stupid pictures that you probably shouldn't put on the internet and all those kind of things. But fast forward to my direct sales years, I was, you know, on the internet looking for a better way to get free leads, and I came across a video from a gentleman out west, and he was talking about his network marketing company, and I thought, man, this is interesting, but he didn't talk about the company specifically. It was more about him and who he was, and he wasn't wearing a suit. He was dressed just like a normal, you know, early 30s, you know, just a t-shirt and jeans or shorts probably because it's warm, you know, out where he was. And I felt, I ended up watching about 2 hours of this guy's video footage at that time 2 years ago. And by the time morning came, this is like 5 o'clock in the morning now, I felt so attracted to what this guy was talking about. He was talking about personal growth and talking about becoming the person who attracts the money and all these things. And not once did he like mention his business to try and sell me into his business. And so I picked up the phone in the morning, gave him a call, you know, got his voicemail. And then I realized, I sat back and realized as to what had happened, that I had just been prospected, and I picked up the phone to call him. I was chasing him down, and never throughout this process did he pay for advertising or do anything other than make a video about things he was already doing in his life. And the light bulb kind of went off in my head. I thought, wow, you know, usually the way that we buy things or the way that we interact with people or are attracted to people is kind of something to pay attention to, very organic process. And so I looked at that and said, what other niches? How do you do this thing? I mean, at the time, I knew it as Web 2.0, you know, this term, social media, or whatever we call this thing now. You know, it is what it is. Right. At the time, it was, you know, Web 2.0, the next evolution of the Internet. And I said, man, what other niches are there out there, you know, besides the network marketing industry where people can go out there and plant little videos, little money magnets, kind of all across the Internet, keyword them properly, and bring in free traffic, free targeted traffic to whatever their website or offer is. And that got me excited, and that's kind of how my coaching practice started, was people started asking me what I was doing, and I thought, man, I should be getting paid for this advice I'm giving out. So that's kind of how it started off, was, you know, I was in need of a product or service. I was looking for free leads. I got that solution handed to me, and I was able to, you know, once I discovered this guy, I was able to kind of peek my head into his world and, you know, see his MySpace page and, you know, see his live stream and all these things and spend time with him on his reality show, his true reality broadcast, without him ever knowing it, without him ever talking with me, and without him ever paying for any kind of advertising. And I got to know him before that, and I kind of realized that this could happen to other folks in other niches. And that's when I started to see the shift happening. So,
That's a fascinating story, man. That's kind of what I you know, I'm of the school. I'm 57 years old, so I'm a little older than you probably. And I came up in the world where basically you're watching TV and a commercial comes on and they're selling you soap or they're selling you this or a car or, you know, some furniture or something like that. And so, you know, and same thing with magazines. I mean, you open a magazine, you read all this, what we now call now is push advertising, where there's no feedback, where everybody's just pushing products on you. You know, it's a totally different world now. And it's like, folks in my generation are like going, you know, doing a head spin, going, you know, what the heck just happened? You know, and I remember when I first got in social media, it was like, for me, it was like, well, I don't want to put my picture all over the internet, and I don't want to talk to people. You know, it's like, it was a hesitancy there. It was like, you know, I value my privacy. I don't want to be out there. And now I'm doing it. It's like, it's fun. It's a different experience. It's sort of like, you know, jumping out of an airplane the first time or something. It's scary, but it's exhilarating at the same time. And of course, I don't think you probably had those barriers to break through as I did and a few of other in my generation, but they're definitely there. And I notice now that on the social media sites, kids are just, I mean, talking about everything. I mean, it's like you said, you brand yourself based on who you are and what you like. And I kind of like that. I think that's kind of neat. So what, let me see, what else? Go ahead.
I was just going to make a comment. You said it, you know, you're under the assumption that it was easy for me, and I got to tell you that I get that question a lot. People think, like, it's easy for me to make videos or easy to share things. And I wrestle with the same insecurities and the same, you know, internal conversation that everybody does, as why would someone watch me? I mean, my first dialogue when I got into the space was, I'm 25 years old. I've got this goofy picture with me and some headphones, and I didn't have a radio show at the time. We didn't have, you know, fast forward now, we've had 16,000 people watch our live show that's been happening for 5 months, and, you know, Twitter followers and all this stuff, you know, that it is what it is. But, you know, we didn't start with that, and I was just a normal 25-year-old network marketer at the time. This is before I retired from the industry, and, you know, I was just looking for a better way to grow his business. So what kind of is interesting, though, and what I was inspired to talk with you about, sounds like you've had a similar theme in the past, is the reflection that social media has on this internal dialogue, that we have these limiting beliefs and these doubts of, you know, why would someone you know, watch my video, or why would someone listen to my show, or why would someone comment on my page, and is anyone really listening? And, you know, if you look at, there's kind of definitely this shift that's happened, and I get this question all the time of, you know, how do I separate my business from my personal life? You know, and I was speaking with a group of middle-aged interior designers a couple months ago, and this question kept coming up, how do we separate business from personal? And I couldn't get the point across that you can't separate it anymore. It's the same thing. And people want to connect with you. You are the brand. You know, the brand isn't Nike necessarily anymore. The brand is, you know, the brand's not Gary Vaynerchuk's wine product. It's Gary Vaynerchuk who happens to sell wine. And so people are connecting, and they always have in the past. We've always bought from people we know, love, and trust. The only thing is that the medium has changed now. So that law is, it's, I like to say it's the same laws. It's just a new technology that's bringing them to face with us. So this isn't a new concept of, you know, leading with value and, you know, creating pieces of content that are valuable for your customers to bring them to you. This is, you know, age-old marketing principles, but I think sometimes it takes a new spin for us to be reminded of some of the basic fundamentals of networking and serving people, you know?
Oh, man, that's so true. I could speak for my generation in the sense that, you know, this whole thing of separating these compartments in one's life, you know, in the age of push advertising, you know, you could put some advertising out there and you didn't have to tell them what kind of underwear you wore or what kind of, you know, car you drove or what you ate for breakfast or anything. You just advertised what you wanted to advertise, and that was a totally separate world from who you are. Now it's like what you're saying. It's all, you know, part of your brand is who you are, and what you're selling has to be sort of an extension of who you are. Otherwise, you're labeled a fraud or, you know, not authentic, you know?
Right.
And that's a big pill to swallow, you know, for some people.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And I think there's a gift in that, too, though, and this is what kind of led me into life coaching is that, you know, if you're doing something you hate, if you're a, you know, if you're a car salesman and you can't figure out how to be yourself on the internet because you hate the products you sell, well, it's kind of an indicator that it might be time to look at what is your passion and your gifts and how come you're not living that out. You know, sometimes it takes a little thing like social media to kind of bring that out, and the people that aren't being authentic, they do get called out on that. And I heard a stat recently. It was a video I saw, and I forget, I think Chris Record had shared it on his fan page. It was a social media statistics video that, you know, my generation, the generation Xers and younger, have been so oversaturated with marketing that we only trust about 14% of traditional advertising. However, we do trust about, I think it was 74, somewhere in the 70s, I don't want to misquote anything, but somewhere in the 70s, we trust 70-some percent of peer recommendation, you know, which is what social media is. It's word of mouth on steroids. So if that's where the marketplace is at, and if that's where they trust, then we've got to be flexible enough to adjust to that, because if we don't do that, you know your competition is, and now you're out of business. So,
right, exactly. Well, the whole dynamic has shifted. So, that's a fascinating thing. So, what happened to this guy? I mean, this guy who came by, did he buy your house? The one that was walking through your house when you were 19?
Oh, you know, I don't think he purchased that one. He well shouldn't have, because it was a terrible property. You know, I'm grateful that I had those little experiences in life. You know, he set me off, and Rich Dad, Poor Dad led to Think and Grow Rich, which led to The Psychology of Influence, which led to The E-Myth by Michael Gerber, led to The Go-Giver by Bob Berg, and just a series of books. And he was really the one that kicked me off on learning and reading. And, you know, that's led me through a lifelong process. I have a mentor I've been working with for a couple of years now, which I get to dive in and do the internal work. And you know, I'm a big fan of Kiyosaki's quote that it's not what you know anymore that counts, it's how fast you learn. And I got to give thanks to, don't even know that guy's name at this point, but for recommending, you know, the first book to kind of kick this off. So.
Oh, wow. That's great. Yeah, I kind of envy you. If I had started off the way you did at age 19, I'd have been in a different place today. But, you know, if wishes were fishes, we'd all, you know, have a feast type thing, right?
But,
yeah. It's fascinating to listen to your story. And all the books you mentioned, I'm very familiar with, and they're fascinating books, and they're great authors and great folks. So you've got a good background there, absolutely. So tell me, you said you were a visionary. What do you envision? What do you see for the future, and how do you position yourself to be able to capitalize on this future?
Hmm. Good question, Michael. And I just got chills when you asked me that question. And I realized that, you know, I learn from everybody. So anytime there's a radio show going on or an interview with an author, I'm always there as long as my schedule is, because I always know that there's little pieces I can soak up. And I was listening to some of the big names, the Guy Kawasaki's, and I always like to ask that question because I'm always curious as to what other people see as the future. And here's the picture that I see for this little world that we call social media. This is kind of my really secret, not so secret strategy or plan for the next couple of years. But I really see a shifting in the way that we receive our media. And I think this played out last New Year's, or when was it, when Ashton Kutcher beat CNN to 1 million Twitter followers. You know, I saw that situation as one of many times or proofs where the people are speaking that they do not, they no longer want to receive their information from a corporate entity. They want to receive the real scoop from real people in a really real, unfiltered, unbridled manner, the way reality TV is supposed to be. And what I mean by that, kind of getting chills as I talk about this because this gets me going, but what I mean by that is that if you look at TV shows today, and since I got into this space and specifically video marketing, I spent a lot of time watching films and watching TV and watching how they shoot it, and you know, why, how come they change scenes every 3 seconds, and how do you keep someone's attention, and you know, all that stuff. And you notice that most of good TV today, look at the top list, is reality-based TV programs. I mean, the kids from the hills, they all have six-figure, if not seven-figure contracts where they get paid to live their life and just go have a film crew follow them around, okay? So there's money there. There's advertising dollars there, or else they wouldn't be paying these idiot kids. And Lauren and all you guys, like, no offense to you, my girlfriend watches the show, so if you're listening, we don't want to upset you, you know, power to you, everything. But so if you look at that, you know, and how traditional TV has shifted, and you look at how the internet has shifted, I really see a next generation of voices and of influence, of people that are in the trenches, that are real people, that are building up natural influence. So if you look at the Oprahs of the world, and if you look at the Larry Kings of the world, I mean, these are huge media empires built through traditional media. I see that same cycle happening again in social media, and I believe Gary Vaynerchuk was the first person to kind of lead by example in this space, meaning if I were to sell a product, and let's just say I had a, a sofa business, and I sold sofas across the world. You know, the first thing I would do is I would go to a person who had a home interior designing blog or a home and garden decor type of blog, and I would ask them to do a legitimate product review of my sofas and tell their audience, tell their podcast viewers, or tell their audience why they like or don't like my product. And I would give them free rein to give a complete nuts and bolts evaluation, as long as they obviously would tell them where they could get more about it. So that type of situation, that's kind of a, you know, I could probably thought of a better example than couches, but that example where I could go pay advertising, or I could just go to where the real-time traffic and the real-time targeted traffic, the people that are interested in interior design and things like that, where they're already hanging out, and put my product there to be reviewed by someone who they already know, love, and trust. Because for me, to go out there and build a brand and use this space, so if everyone's in social media, I've got to be here. You know, it takes a lot of work to go out and personally build that, but I think you can leverage other people who have influence. And so you asked the question of what do I see as the future, and I basically see a shift, and I see the next generation of the Oprahs, the Larry Kings. You know, there's a lot of niches that are open right now. I don't see anyone that's really dominating the sports niches. I don't see anybody that's really dominating the coffee niches. You know, there's all these, there's a million different places you can be. And I see a lot of bloggers, but to really step out in a way like Gary Vaynerchuk did and build this huge following, I think we're going to see more and more of that normal people who are free now, because anybody can broadcast. You know, you've got a radio show. Mm-hmm. I don't need a license to broadcast on Ustream. And in the very near future, I mean, we're within probably 12 to 20 months of having real time. I mean, already now with an iPhone, you can shoot a video and upload it immediately to Facebook and YouTube. Now, the technology is a little bit sketchy. It's not quite there. But as soon as everybody else catches up, and it's common courtesy for, you know, an accident to happen and someone to be there and pop up on their cell phone, record that video of what exactly happened and shoot that up to Twitter and have it be spread all across the world, before the media can pick it up, before the news channel can get there and send a reporter to do it, you know, that's where the future of this space is going, and there's going to be a lot of different ways to position yourself ahead of that. One of those is to have an influence going into that space so that people already trust you, and from there I think there's a lot of things you can do. But
wow, that's a mouthful there, Gabe.
That's you hit on a,
quite
you,
a mouthful,
hit on,
I tell you.
You hit me on a passionate topic, so.
That's great. That's fascinating stuff. So you're saying that basically we find a niche and scratch it. I mean, we find a place that nobody is. What I'm hearing you say is that basically create your own reality TV show somehow or another. I'm just being simplified here, or simplifying the process. Your own reality TV show, brand yourself in relationship to that particular area, and just keep putting it out there. Just be yourself and just keep putting it out there. Is that what I'm hearing you say correctly, or?
I mean, that's a portion of it. I think, you know, especially from a business perspective, this is like, you know, marketing 101 of, you know, find a starving market of people who are already buying things and find a way to, you know, up the marketing or do a better job of giving them what they want. So I think that now, you
know, answer their questions. Yeah.
Find a way to serve. And that's one of the really cool things about social media is not just from the people who are accessible, but that now we as businesses and entrepreneurs and companies and everything else, we can listen and we have a direct communication with the marketplace like we've never had before. You know, so they don't have to send in it. Like if you go to Burger King or whatever, you fill out the little form and you put it in the box, and then who knows what happens to that, right? But I can tweet to Burger King headquarters and tell them, hey, your burgers at this joint are terrible and I'm not coming back there again. And you better believe they should listen to that kind of response. So the market's telling you what they want you to sell them if you will just listen to them. And I think a lot of companies are slow for the listening process.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Then they spend millions of dollars for focus groups to get the same information they could have got for free, right?
Exactly. That's our little secret, amazing. Though. So if you're listening, don't tell them they can just go on Twitter and do a keyword search. We'll save the research.
I won't tell them.
$1 million. All right.
Unless they're listening, I won't tell them. Well, you've been a wonderful guest. I really appreciate the feedback, man. You know what's going on, and I'm interesting to find out what else you got going on here. You've fascinated me. So if you'll hang on for a little bit longer, what I'm going to do is introduce next week's guests, and then we'll have some music, and we'll have a few outtakes. This is a dirty little secret of radio here. We have a few outtakes that will not be streaming live, but they will be available on podcast, so you can download later. So if you have any other questions, we don't have any calls right now, so if you have something you want to wrap up on, that would be great. One question I do have for you is that you did say, let's see, what techniques do you use to, well, this would be another subject, I would imagine. I don't want to get into that because we've only got another minute left. I'll let you have the floor, Gabe, if you want to wrap this up for another minute or so, and then we've got to go, but I want to give you the last word.
Cool. Well, I appreciate being on here, and I guess what I'd leave with is we've just done a remake of our blog, so if anything we talked about today is inspiring for you and you want to stop by and say hi, you can visit GabeStrom.com. And we also just finished a new blogging system. I found that it was a challenge for a lot of folks to get their first blog up and running, so we decided to do that for folks. And you can go to SocialMediaTrainingLab.com, SocialMediaTrainingLab.com, and hop in. We've got a simple three-step process to get people up and running with free blogs. So I'll poke that in there as my famed selfish plug here. So, but thanks for having
That's
me
great.
On the show. I
That's great.
Time with you.
Absolutely. Hang on until after the music, and I'd like to ask you a couple more questions. But I don't want to say any more. Listen,
perfect.
Gabe, thank you so much for being on the show, and I appreciate your input because it's fascinating to get that, and you're a good spokesman for that, and I really appreciate you being here. Next week we're going to have David Cummings. David is an entrepreneur. He's an internet marketer from down under. He's in Australia, and he'll be on the show talking about his current projects and what he's got going on. And I'll be happy to have David. I've talked with him a few times, and quite an interesting fellow. So stay tuned next Tuesday. That will be November. We're already into November. That would be November the 3rd, 6 o'clock Eastern Time. I'm Michael Craig. This is Logical Soul Talk. Thanks for listening. Great show, Gabe.
All right. Man, half hour goes by quick, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Yeah, I sort of have to get the points in order and just sort of zap, 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 and then it's not a whole lot of time to dwell on stuff. But you did great, man. Thanks a lot.
Cool. It's my pleasure. I'm glad. I appreciate the invite. So.
Yeah, I'm real fascinated with what you do. I'm glad that you're using video and other, you know, helping people basically align with their values and their talents and gifts and so forth, their purpose in life, so to speak, which is kind of along the lines of what I'm doing, really. We just do it in different ways.
Yeah, that was the piece I wanted to, you know, explore, and it's kind of hard on a quick segment like that. Can you give me an idea of how that was the piece that was attractive about what you're up to? I know the show is a very small piece of what you do, but you know, how does that piece align with what you're up to?
That piece meaning the radio show, is that what you mean?
No, meaning the, you know, the reflection of the passions, the talents, you know, the kind of self-discovery piece.
Oh, okay. Basically, I have a technique I developed over about 17 years. I was a chiropractor and was wondering why people didn't get better, why they didn't get well, just like you wondered why 90% of businesses fail.
Mm-hmm.
I came at it from a health standpoint where I realized that people sabotage their own success, not just in health but also in life. That part of health is life. And so I just began to come at it from that, and I used a technique called applied kinesiology, which is muscle testing, to sort of get feedback from the subconscious or the body to find out what was it really saying. Not just what they said consciously, but what was really being said consciously, and went on a fascinating journey. It took me 17 years to sort of map the area out and find out exactly how to access what I call hidden decisions and change these patterns, starting with the decisions that most people are unaware they have made, and you know, change those, and then suddenly their life changes, and they, you know, it's a very subtle process, but it works.
Okay, so do you don't still practice? Do you still practice?
I'm not a chiropractor. I don't still have an office. No, I'm retired now. Oh, look, that reminds me. I want to send you a copy of my book. So let me make sure I've got your address here, or I can give you. Yeah, give me your address. I'd love to send you a copy.
Okay. It is 869.
Or I tell you what. Rather than do that, because some people will be listening to the blog stream, and I don't want you to give that information out. You can just send me an email if you would do that, and I would get that.
Okay,
got
cool.
My email address? Yeah, let's just do it that way, because I don't want to have this on the stream.
Yeah, I'll pop you a Facebook message. It'll be easier. So.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm still I'm still an ebook. I'm still an email type of guy, you know.
Okay.
It's hard to break old habits, but I sort of have to check in on my email to be able to.
Yeah, I can get... Okay, I've got your email address though. So, cool. So when you started live with consulting the blog, I mean, what was the vision behind the blog and the show and this chapter of your life?
I had a mentor, and basically I learned how to get my book down, because it took me 17 years of not writing a book to finally just learn how to just, you know, get down to the essential points that I wanted to say that was different than what anybody else was saying, and I just put it down in book form. And out of that, I just the radio show was just sort of a way of, you know, I think because it was sort of a dual process for me, because I get to interview really nice people like yourself and learn a lot. So it's kind of a selfish motivation. I get to learn a lot, but also give a forum for people who want to be on, you know, like yourself. It helps everybody. And so I really like this medium and like to be able to give opportunities to people, and it gives me an opportunity, and we just sort of share stuff. You know?
Yeah.
And it works great for everybody.
So that makes sense. So it came out of a desire. I mean, you wrote this book and you wanted to share it with more people, and it came out of a desire to kind of share what you had learned, it sounded like.
Yeah, I'm not really promoting my book or anything on the show, but it is a forum to where people, you know, it's like you said, they become familiar with me, and then out of that they'll want to know more and maybe, you know, check out my blog and check out some other stuff I'm doing. So I'm not really trying to sell it, but it sort of comes out of there. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah,
I'm sort of learning what you already know, which is, you know, just be yourself and be out there and just socialize with people, and good things come out of it. So.
Yeah, I mean, easier said than done, but that's the, I mean, that's what I think a lot of us are figuring out, though, too. I mean, even this whole thing, social media is so young. I love, you know, I've heard it called a baby with a mustache before, and I that really resonates. It is, I mean, it's brand new.
I haven't heard that.
You know, this is,
yeah.
I mean, that's not my quote. You can't, I think you know, that's another Gary Vee quote, but, but yeah, I mean, it's a young space, you know, this is, I mean, it's been around less than 10 years, but not as a business tool. You know, people didn't really start considering it until a couple of years ago. And I say that story about the network marketing, my network marketing experience, but that's basically because, I mean, that industry is pretty cutting edge when it comes to marketing. So they're usually the first ones to pick up on new techniques and things. So I get a lot of my ideas from those guys still. But, I mean, this is brand new. You know, we're all kind of figuring this out as we go along here, I think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You familiar with the Joey Smith? He's another social media kind of guy. He's all over the place. Joey Smith.
Oh.
Yeah, I had him on my show not long ago, about last month, I think it was. He's here in Atlanta. He's real big in social media. He teaches courses. He and Devon Brown do Twitter courses and have developed a product on that. And he does a lot. Joey's actually he set up the Atlanta social media group and also Atlanta Internet Marketing Group. Very active.
Okay.
So
Joey's,
I just thought maybe you might have known him. So.
No, I actually haven't connected with him yet. Is he what's his picture look like? I just looked for him on Facebook. Has he got a hat
he's
on?
Sort of scrungy looking. nothing fancy. He's kind of balding a little bit. Wears a hat, I think, in his picture.
Okay. And he's got like a goatee and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sort of a Van Gogh type of pair.
Yeah, he's like in front of some computers, I think. I just looked him up. So, no, I actually haven't heard of him. I've heard of the other gentleman you mentioned. I just heard of him recently. In fact, I got
Devon
an email
Brown.
From Devon Brown, yeah.
Yeah,
I haven't heard
yeah.
of him really yet, so.
Yeah, he and Devon work together on a lot of stuff, so.
Okay.
Well, good. Well, maybe you can connect with him. Yeah, he's a good guy to know. As are you, so I figured you need to know each other.
Yeah, always good to kind of. That's one of the. Just before we go, I mean, we talk a lot about marketing, but I really see the real gold mine right now is connecting up with people and building relationships with people that you can JV with or you know, things like this. I mean, same thing with our show too. We talk about it, and I have gotten a lot of business from it as far as from a coaching relationship. But really, it's given me access and an excuse to connect with some really powerful people that I never would have been able to say, hey, can I talk to you for a couple minutes? But when you say, hey, can I interview you on my show, it's a little bit easier conversation. So you know, people like us would never have met other ways, and people like Joey and other folks. So, you know, people are accessible right now, and that's the gap is getting shortened. You know. New York Times best-selling author isn't as hard to get a hold of these days as he was 5 years ago. But
right, you just tweet him. Yeah, I was able to get in touch with some interest. I've had Matt Basak on my show. I've had Raymond Aaron, who's from Canada, the monthly mentor guy. He's real well-known.
Yeah.
A bunch of people, but just what I consider, and some lesser-known people who I consider to be really top-notch in their field and what they're doing, several authors and some doctors who are doing amazing things. So it's, you know, I just love having the show. I love having people on and love learning things and giving them a platform to say what they need to say.
Yeah, for sure. Very cool.
So, listen, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I don't know how to thank you. I will send me that email or Facebook notice or whatever, and I'll shoot you out a book, copy my book.
Cool, very cool.
I'd love to get
very
your feedback
cool.
on that.
So, yeah, good. I'd love to. So I'm getting ready. I just finished a new version of my blog, and I'm going to be doing a lot more reviews of social media products and home-based business opportunities and things like that. So I'm really looking for leaders in the industry or folks that are passionate about specifically health and wellness, too. I had an opportunity recently to help be a part of a training organization for a health and wellness company that recently changed business models. But if you know anyone that's in that space, health and wellness bloggers or folks that have influence or people in the home business arena, I'd love to connect with them. So just plant that seed with you a bit.
Okay. Sure. I will definitely do that. And let's see, something else I wanted to tell you. this I don't know if it's senility or ADD or a little combination of both. My mind is blank. As soon as I get ready to say something, and I'll turn around and I forget exactly what I wanted to say. But, just shoot me that email. Tell me, and I'll send you a copy of the book. I was just going to say, connect with Joey, connect with a couple other people. I was something about connecting. I don't remember what it was. Anyway, I'll shoot you an email or a tweet. The best way to get you is what? Facebook?
Facebook. Here's something else just to keep an eye out. I just sent Joey a message too, so I just introduced myself and said that he came recommended by you. But we didn't talk about the future a lot. I think that here's where I'm putting my eggs. And I mean, we're off the air, and people are listening. And if they are, God bless them. They deserve to hear this too. But the future is in the viralness of Facebook right now. So I've backed off my Twitter usage dramatically because I've noticed that my click-through rates on my tweets. I mean, I used to put out a tweet a year ago, and I'd put out a tweet in the morning, get like 20 at replies instantly within 5 minutes back at me. And now it's like you have a couple that trickle in. So the market, the noise to signal to noise ratio has gotten really high on Twitter. Not to say that it's not going to back down. And with the keep an eye on the new Twitter list that are coming out, that'll be a game changer. But Facebook is so much more intimate, so much quieter. People can learn more about you. You can start the marketing funnel right from your profile page. So I'm going to be putting a lot more time into Facebook, and I'm getting ready to launch a fan page. Cool thing about Facebook fan pages is that, let's say that you're in, we're selling, we're selling products for babies, right? And so we want to target mother, okay? Well, if I make a video about the best way to change a diaper and I upload it from my Facebook fan page, instantly, anytime someone watches that video, the little button to become a fan is right on the video. So you can build up that list bigger and bigger, and you're allowed to message infinite fans, just like an email list. But the cool thing is that if a mother likes that video and she comments on that video, or she can tag herself, but even if she just comments on that video, it'll show up on her wall. And, of course, that mother that has that child who she likes the tip on how to change diapers, and she's interested in, this video is sponsored by, whatever, this baby food company or whatever. Of course she's got 5 or 10 friends that all trust her judgment and are all interested, and they're all mothers, they're all interested in better things for their kids. They're going to see that trail too. And so if 3 of those 10 click on the video and comment on it, now it spreads to their network. So there's a very viral nature that Facebook has as far as like-minded people attracting like-minded people, where word of mouth can really go very viral quickly to the right people, and Twitter and some of these other places just don't have it. So I definitely think it's a complete package, and you mentioned me being everywhere. That was, when I didn't know what I was doing, that was my strategy, and now I'm getting better at being in front of the right people at the right time. But I really see the future in this space as Facebook, where you want to be investing primarily, and then Twitter second and third. It's still a valuable medium, but I just don't, I just think there's so much less clutter in Facebook, and it's so easier to get your message out there that's where I'm putting my energy into in the next 6 or 8 months probably.
Well, that's a great tip. I appreciate that. I'll do the same. Thanks. That's a valuable tip, man. It had to do with I wanted to say I did check out your blog. It looks very nice. You had this one video by this guy, I think he was from CNN or CBS or somebody who did the came up with his camera and started talking about you guys doing your, I think it was underground social media workshop you had.
Yeah. Well, Matthew Cipolla.
Is that on your blog?
I've only got a couple of videos up there because I haven't filled it out yet. I just finally got it made over. But Matthew's actually a local, he's kind of a local celebrity. He was a financial advisor who's moved into the spotlight, and he does media coaching, and he also has a radio show on Saturday mornings on traditional radio. So he had popped in to support us. He's a good friend of mine actually now. But
now you're local in Chicago, right?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. I said Illinois. I figured you're in Chicago. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, cool. Well, anyway, I just want to say your blog looks great and very professional. You got a lot going on. It looks like you got a lot to offer, so I think we'll be connecting more.
Cool. Well, you know how to find me, so I appreciate the opportunity to co-create with you on your show, and look forward to what happens. So.
Yeah, thank you, Gabe. As I said, I'll send you a copy of my book. I'd love your feedback. So just get back to me when you read it or have a chance to glance through it, and I can put a blurb from you in my next publication, which will happen a little before December 10th, I think it is, coming out. So right now I've just got blurb copies, so I'll just send you one of those, and you can comment on it if you like.
Cool. Well, before I let you go, what's the target and topic for your book? I mean, who's it geared towards?
You know, it's been a problem of mine for 17 years trying to figure out who my market is. it's mostly self-help. I mean, self-help, but it's transformation. And, you know, there's not many keywords that people type in where, you know, I think I want some transformation today. You know,
right.
So it's difficult to narrow down into a specific niche. You know, I work with people who have anxiety attacks. I can overcome that in less than half an hour. Just about anything you think of can be transformed within 30 minutes in a session that I do. But it's self. In fact, I'm doing a keyword breakdown now. I've got Mark Samurai, which I'm using to sort of help me think clearer and try to really, really narrow this thing down. So it's going to be a process, which is going to be ongoing for the next few days. But it's self-help, self-motivation, inner motivation type thing.
Okay, cool. That's right up my alley then.
Primarily.
So, yeah, I'm going to be doing a lot more reviews around personal empowerment programs and things like that and books and resources, so that'll be right aligned there. I would say you might want to consider piggybacking off of some kind of modern gurus. So, I mean, Tony Robbins would be a good topic to piggyback off of and all the books he's written.
Absolutely.
Carlos Marin is a good friend of mine who I've come to know recently, who's going to be an up-and-coming personal empowerment. He's building a personal empowerment community, so it's like a Facebook for that. I just went to his workshop.
Carlos, what's his name?
Carlos Marin, M-A-R-I-N.
Oh, Marin, okay.
M-A-R. So you guys aren't, you know, it's a similar but non-competing niche, so if you can find ways to piggyback on that traffic and, you know, put videos and do articles and things around some of their specific, those are long-tail keywords, you know, like the name of Tony's book,
right.
You know, whatever, and even their videos. If you can show up, you know, with video marketing, if you can show up next to someone who does a search for Tony Robbins and finds one of his videos, and they're trying to deal with anxiety and panic, and then your video shows up in the related video section on YouTube, you know, that's the kind of person that you would want to drive to your blog and have them subscribe.
Right, exactly.
So,
yeah,
but yeah, I know what you mean, though.
We do. Yeah, Tony's one of the guys I want to get in touch with eventually. I just, as I said, I want to have my ducks in a row before I start saying it. But yeah, I would talk to Tony anytime. He's a great man. I really admire the guy. Also, Raymond Aaron, who I've interviewed on my radio show, he's I call him the Canadian Tony Robbins. He's written the Monthly Mentor. He's got a book, several books out. He's walked to the North Pole. In fact, you can listen to his radio show earlier on one of my podcasts I've got in there. He walked like 350 miles by himself to the North Pole on foot. He's been a millionaire several times. He's done more in his lifetime than I know just about, except maybe Tony Robbins. The guy's phenomenal, and he's in his 60s. So
monthlymentor.com is his program.
Yeah, Monthly Mentor. And he's also, as I said, I've got a radio. I did an interview with him, so you could listen to that as well. But yeah, he's a really neat guy to know.
Okay, cool.
Well, good. I'd love to network with you and share names. I think this is great. Great to meet you, Gabe. I really appreciate the opportunity there.
Yeah, likewise.
I think we'll be doing more stuff.
Hopefully, this kind of stuff's fun. So. Cool.
Okay, man.
All
well,
right,
if
Michael,
you ever need anything,
go.
Just holler. And as I said, just send me that information about where to send the book to, and I'll ship it out to you.
Cool. Yeah, I'll pop you an email right now. So.
Great.
Very good. All right. Hey, have a great night, Michael.
You do too, man. Talk to you later.
All right. Yep. Bye-bye.